I want to ask you to think of somebody you care about. Somebody's pretty healthy. We're going to call this person, who's fairly healthy, the subject. And you're going to, in the exercise, imagine this person on your mental screen. And you're going to consider, even though you know they're fairly healthy, some of the things that could be wrong from an intuitive point of view. And what I want you to notice and pay attention to is that it's a process of asking questions. Simple questions, almost yes and no, or multiple choice type questions. This is, of course, a training. It works. We've done this with millions of people all over the world. We produce results consistently, time after time after time. So please, I thank you for your patience. And just note as we go through this, that you're going to develop your own skill, your own aspect of this. So with this person, the subject on your mental screen, we're going to consider some of the signs, the flags, as to what you might notice. And when Jose Silva was alive, they'd say, Jose, how in the world can you claim to be training psychics? I think people still wonder about that. And the answer is programming, education, and having a system. And that's what this is, a system for us that you can springboard from. So as you imagine this subject, you're going to notice maybe colors. If you talk around, I've heard frequently from people that the color red is either symbolic of a lot of energy, intensity, passion, or pain. Where darkness, dinginess, lack of clarity is often symbolic of there's a problem, there's something wrong. When there's clarity, brightness, it's okay. There's an improvement, no problem. So this is what you want to begin to pay attention to. And you're going to have ample time to practice this. This first and last mental projection will get you started. We'll give you something to think about. So as you move through the exercise, the first thing you can do is take this person whom you know, whom you love. Again, they're healthy. We're just going to consider what could be wrong. And you want to use your hands. Extend your arms as if your hands are on one side of the head. They're on your mental screen. You can take them off the mental screen and he or she will remain in that position or angle. Put your hands to rest as you need. I want to encourage you to use your hands. They're very important. It helps keep us awake, helps keep you focused. And as you tune in, you're going to imagine the head. Remember what it looks like. You know, the hair color, eyes, face. And as if you're not actually projecting into it, as if you were turning pages of an anatomy book. And you're just going to focus on the skeletal, you know, the skull, the brain, the right side, the left side, and the different parts of the brain. Interesting enough, the children have often reported in the incidence of brain damage, they imagine polka dots, big black spots in an area of the brain where there's damage. And for healing, they imagine erasing it. Take a big eraser and they erase it, and that's their concept of healing. In fact, if you read anything from Louise Hay, Shakti Gawain, if you listen to Dr. Bernie Siegel as an oncologist and cancer specialist, if you listen to O. Carl Simonton, the Silver graduate, using these techniques, who, by the way, mentored many people like Bernie Siegel and others, to use the mind in the healing process to help people, yes, reduce many of the symptoms of cancer, and in some seemingly miraculous incidences, healings. Well, they found that when somebody's given a prognosis of cancer or a life-threatening disease, and then you tell them, be positive, see yourself healthy, imagine your body in perfect health, most people have difficulty because that's not the reality. And they're almost even maybe a little bit upset, maybe even depressed. But if they were to say, imagine doing something that's symbolic of a change taking place, much easier. The brain, we find, is very responsive to mental images, to pictures, to symbols, to metaphors. So you might remember some of the early experiments. Imagine in your body there are soldiers dressed in red, and in your body there are soldiers dressed in white. And this is symbology for what? The soldiers dressed in red, cancer cells, white, what we need more of, white blood cells. And they're in battle, and the soldiers dressed in white are overcoming those dressed in red. That people could do in their imagination. It's a beautiful example of the power of imagination to effect lasting change. We're the only beings on this planet, period, who can literally change our biology by changing how we think and how we feel. I know people who imagine they've got this healing laser beam, healing pills, Mother Earth's nutrients, a healing jacuzzi. There's no right or wrong. What's important is being able to go from what we know to be true, what we know to be the problem, to make that shift to what we desire, the outcome. So we learn quite a bit from the youngsters because it's so vivid in their imagination. One graduate told me a really interesting story, was diagnosed with iron-bound anemia, way too much iron in their blood. Do you know what they did? They imagined a little coal miner with a little hat, a little flashlight, you know, the hat, and going through the body with a bucket, mining the iron, collecting it in the bucket, taking it out of the body. 3 months later, went back for some blood work, and the iron count was back to normal. Fascinating. You can do this for yourself, you can do this for others. All you're doing right now is building some confidence, developing some points of reference. With the head, you could also imagine as if you're taking the head off as if it were a helmet, a hat, placing it on over your own. I know, sounds silly, but you know, maybe not so silly because it's really an exercise in modeling, identifying with another human being, feeling some deep compassion for another person, and kind of imagining seeing the world through their eyes, imagining living life through their life experience, through their perspective. Boy, if we all did more of that, we'd get along better. We'd have so much more harmony. And you can do the same thing to kind of get on someone's wavelength. Maybe ask them, is your problem psychological or physical? If you're going on an interview, you've got a client, you're having trouble reaching, and you'd like to connect with them better, you want to get on their wavelength. You know, you have nothing to lose, everything to gain. You do this in the privacy of your mind, nobody will even know you're doing it. I assure you, you're going to be rather amazed at some of the insight you'll get when you have a sincere desire to help somebody, you're clear about your intention, and we just use this as, again, a technique, as if I'm putting on their head to connect with them. Then you're going to imagine, you know, take off the head, of course, put it back on theirs. You're still scanning the body, your hands on either side of the ribcage, again, imagining the skeletal body. And some of the problems that could exist here could be arthritic conditions. Interesting enough, the children have often reported imagining a white substance collecting on the fingers, the joints, wrists, elbows, and then they scrape it off for healing. Do you know, by the way, my mom, God bless her, she was the first person in my family to actually participate in Silva. And yet when I first told her about Silva, and I was all excited, she turned white as a ghost and took out her rosary beads and started praying for me. And when she started seeing some of the changes in me, that I wasn't getting headaches anymore, I wasn't so angry like I was before, I wasn't losing my temper, I was more patient and calm, and I started excelling in school, then she saw meaningful changes. She went through what we now call the life system, and only that, that's all she went through. And even just doing that, she had crippling arthritis, and it seemed to go away. Doctor said still there, but she went from not being able to move her hands to being able to move and get her mobility back and go back to work. Things like that are what inspire me. This is what it's about. People making their lives better, making a better world. Fractures, old and new, can even be detected. I mean, it's amazing what you can detect with practice. You might imagine, in fact, our concept is we're kind of tuning into the soul mold. That's just a term, just language we use, because obviously we're not doing this physically. We're not licensed. We're not doctors. We're doing this in the privacy of our own mind, sort of like a prayer for somebody. And what we believe we're tuning into is their subjective or spiritual representation of their body, and we call it the soul mold. And it's fascinating that if you've ever seen pictures of Kirlian photography or ever been to one of those fairs where they take the Kirlian photographs of your body and you see the energy field around the body, it's rather colorful and very interesting. They've done Kirlian photographic studies over the years right here in the Hartford, Connecticut area at one of the local universities, actually Manchester Community College. One of the foundations was doing research some years ago, and they would actually snip off the top of a leaf and take a photo of it, a Kirlian photograph that is. And you know, you still had the complete image of the leaf, but you could see where it was snipped off because it was a little dim, it was slightly different. So even in our imagination, it's rather interesting to note that if there's been an amputation, you'll get an image as if it's still complete, but with skill and practice, you can detect slight differences. Then you're going to imagine the heart tissue dimension, the various different organ systems. And you'll notice that in the exercise, we're going to use a lot of terminology, and you don't need to remember it. It's not necessary. You have some references to it in your written literature. But I'll tell you, unless you want to become a medical intuitive, we're only using it here to get the ball rolling. So you're going to imagine the heart. You're going to imagine the heart transparent. You're going to imagine the heart beating. You know, it's your subject's heart. You can compare a doubtful heart to someone's heart who you know is in good health. There are four tests that we can perform, again, subjectively, for white cell count, sugar content, cholesterol, or foreign chemicals. You can imagine drawing a sample of the subject's blood and putting it into a test tube, shaking it. Decide what you're going to test for. Notice you're going to ask, is the count I perceive, there's a lesser amount in your imagination, you imagine a lesser amount settling to the bottom, is it high, normal, or low? Well, for example, if you got a high white cell count, that could be leukemia. Low white cell count could indicate cancer. High sugar count, diabetes. Low sugar count, hypoglycemia. And on it goes. Cholesterol, high cholesterol, you know, poor circulation. Foreign chemicals, high count could indicate drugs in the system. Could be medicinal drugs, prescription drugs, could be alcohol, it could be recreational drugs. So notice in the exercises, we're going to move right through it, right along. We're really training, disciplining the mind to ask questions and follow your first impression. You're going to feel like you're making it up. That's the right feeling. And you don't want to think too hard. You want to just kind of move right along. If you get an impression, great. If you don't, great. It's not something you want to try to manufacture or force because you're just going to then be distorting it. Follow and trust the first impression. Remember your finger snapping controls, the right hand to make it larger, the left hand to reduce it. And on your continue, you can imagine your subject's lungs as they're expanding and contracting rhythmically. Sometimes one's a little larger than the other, a little higher. That could be normal. Sometimes a lung has been removed or portions of a lung has been removed. Some of the common problems that can be detected could be too much smoking. In fact, have you ever seen a smoker's lung? There's quite a difference between a smoker's lung or someone who lives in a polluted environment and one who does not. Or you might detect a lot of yellow-like substance collecting, you know, mucus, phlegm. Could be due to asthma. Could be due to environmental pollutants. The children say they imagine poking a hole, putting a little hose, and draining it. And that's their concept of healing. Again, we can learn quite a bit from young children who have yet to be biased, haven't been conditioned. They're naturally intuitive. They're naturally there. So on your go, considering the pancreas, the gallbladder, the kidneys, the bladder itself, and even the intestinal tract dimension, the stomach tissue dimension, a couple of other items. Some of the common problems that could happen in the stomach tissue dimension could be indigestion, improper flow of gastric juices, ulcers-like condition. These are things that can indeed be picked up. So remember, whether you know this to be true or not, anytime you imagine something, correct it. You want to clear your mind. You want to let your last impression be of the subject, excellent health, back to normal. If you did imagine something and you're not sure, what do you think? Should you tell them? Absolutely not. That's not our job. We're not licensed health caretakers, unless you are, of course. In the privacy of your mind, say a little prayer, program, that they do what they need to do to get better. Correct it using mirror of the mind. We always do this at a distance. It's an ethical consideration. And you can even subjectively ask them for that permission. Our intention is to help and do what we can. What do you think? Does it make sense to lie awake in bed at night worrying about your children? Does it make sense to all throughout the day to worry and complain and feel sad and upset about your dear friends who are sick? It's not going to do them any good. And now you're going to have a problem and you're going to get depressed and you're going to feel like giving up. Doesn't it make a whole lot more sense to have an image, a thought of them in health and vitality? Doesn't it make a lot more sense to, shall I say, wish them the best, program, call it what you will, to energize, to feel in your heart loving compassion for another person? It can only help. And even if it doesn't help them, it's going to help you to at least be at peace with yourself and be calm, so that when you are with them, spending time with them, you'll be focused in a loving manner. You'll be there fully present with them. You'll maybe help them laugh. You'll maybe help them take their mind off of their worries, their concerns. And that's what they need us for. So one way or the other, whether it be objectively the changes and shifts we make in ourselves or subjectively, just know that you make a difference. And again, you don't need to remember all these details. Just relax, be patient. We're just going through it. What we're really doing, as Laura guides you through this exercise, is you're going to be establishing, subjectively speaking, some points of reference. And then when you're done, you want to reflect on it and ask yourself, what can I learn from this? So enjoy this exercise. Have fun with it. Take your time. It's a beautiful exercise. And know that it's just the beginning.